If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You have found the Shanny Pants Show. Hello, it's Shanny, the least influential influencer that there ever was. With a heart full of laughter and a journey that runs deeper than the trendiest makeup You may know me from my ridiculously comedic fashion and makeup tutorials on social media, but guess what? There's so much more to the story. I was born, raised, and married in a cult. When I left the cult at 31 years old, I had no knowledge about real life or how to process what I had been through. I felt very alone. The past couple of years, I've been on an incredible journey of learning, growing, and recovering, and I'm excited to share this with you. I'll bring you stories from the Cultiverse, where many cult survivors and experts share their knowledge and experiences. Their stories are more than inspiring. They're a roadmap to self-discovery and resilience. So get ready for a podcast that's part comedy, part wisdom, and a whole lot of heart. If you feel alone in your journey, my hope is that that will change once you hear these stories. Welcome to the Shanny Pants Show.
Hey, friends. Welcome again to Sessions with a Sister. This is Christmas Cult Edition on the Shanny Pants Show. A reminder to those watching from Instagram, I will not be able to see your comments. So if you need a comment or ask a question, please go and watch us on YouTube, Shanny Pants Show, or Facebook, Shanny Pants Show. And you can comment there and I'll see your comments or questions. Otherwise, feel free to let us know. Ask all the questions, even if they're not Christmas related. But we're kind of like in the Christmas holiday season right now. And so, of course, our thoughts drift to Christmas of years gone by.
Many, many years. Do you know the first year I celebrated Christmas, I had like a 19-foot tree.
In the big house.
I just went wild with it. You go wild. You go wild when you haven't had, you know, Christmas.
Except not for me, because we were a lot more controlled for a lot longer. I felt like. And so ours was more like I got Dakota to live with you, like, you know, this big.
Edging it in. That's where our personalities are so different. Yes. I was a 19-foot tree because I can't handle that I didn't celebrate it for years.
Yes.
Totally. First off, though, I have a reindeer ring on, too. I am, like, so...
Oh, very fancy.
Where did you get your beanie?
Oh, isn't it amazing?
Amazing. Yes.
It is so amazing. So they're not for sale to the general public yet.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. But it's from Sarah and Nippy. I was on their podcast called A Little Bit Culty. And we're like basically besties now. And so when I saw her in St. Louis in October, she brought this for me.
It's like other goodies.
I have a little bit of multi chapstick. Yeah.
Oh, that's a need. That is such a need.
Everyone needs a little bit culty chapstick. But this, and she's from Canada, or they're from Canada. So they don't call it a beanie. So she kept telling me, I think they call
cap.
It toque. Toque. Yeah, like honestly, you would never think, oh, you're talking about
so
a beanie.
Cultured. Wow.
I don't know that that's saying it right, but it's called a toque. And she kept something like that. And she kept saying that. And I'm just like, cool. Like, I'm going to be surprised when you give it to me because I have no clue what you're talking about. And then when she gave it to me, I'm like, oh, you mean a beanie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm even learned... Isn't it so good to be cultured and learn so much?
It's beautiful. Just amazing. It's so amazing. So yeah, so that's where that's from. And I just love them to death. They're amazing. So I leave it on my desk right here for when I don't do my hair. And then it's podcast time and I'm like, on go out the toe.
I love my little Santa hat.
Yeah.
It has been with me for a few years and I love it.
And we have like years and years and years of makeup time with Christmas when it comes to Christmas.
Yeah, I love
it. So, you know, it's like, bring all the Santa hats because we're adults, but we're going to do some makeup time. It's a good
thing.
Sean is so into your celebrations with you. That's very helpful. He puts up with a lot of celebrating.
Yeah. No, he does very good. And like I would say is probably more into Halloween. That's his thing. He loves all that stuff. But we do enjoy Christmas. We're excited.
Yeah. I love you guys are very like
we have all our
all holidays
ready.
Yeah.
We're gonna be doing photos here in Florida for our holiday jam.
You know, amazing.
It's very extra.
Oh yeah, you guys are rare. I think I need to hold on 1 second.
I'm so not used to you with the brown hair. Oh yes.
So good.
It's hard with your earphones. That's why mine are so lopsided because I didn't know where to put my earphones on top.
But look at maybe if your hat comes like this. Oh, this is perfect right here.
Here it is. It gets
wait, what's the song that tra la 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 la?
Oh my god.
We
can you show that video, please? On
we
here.
Need to make up a tra la 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 la.
Okay,
like an actual full song.
Yeah. First, can you explain to the followers? I know a lot of people follow you already and know what you're talking about with the cult thing.
Yeah, but I don't. You have seen it while I'm looking for it.
So basically, we were raised in a cult. We were born into it, so we really didn't have a choice in the matter. Were our parents born into it?
Yeah, they were.
They both were. Except mom said no. They came later.
Well, but I think she was in and out her family. Her dad was messed up.
Yeah. So a lot of interesting people, like when you talk about like being raised in a cult, we obviously had super good friends because all your friends. Oh, my hat. It's really confusing, huh?
Great. It's great.
Everything you know was in this cult. You did not have friends outside of it. Typically, everything was inside of this group. And so we did not celebrate holidays. Christmas was a big no-no. Our parents were born into it. And so we were born into it. We're like second or third generation into it. And so it was just basically like we had to wear long dresses, very modest
clothes. It was basically terrible.
You could
you're trying
your
say,
hair
terrible.
No makeup, no
nail polish.
Women were criticized very heavily for their looks. If you were like cute or pretty, 10 times worse for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's what we kind of were born into. So we never were able to celebrate the holidays like all the other kids. And we did go to public school. A lot of people were homeschooled in our cult, but we went to public school, which it built character. That's for sure. It built a lot of character.
Bullied every day is the best.
It is the best. And I figure, you know what? If we survived it, so can all the children.
I know.
It gives you hope because I remember, do you remember in eighth grade? He was in eighth grade and like I thought he was so cute. His name was Chad. I forget his last name.
Oh,
I'm like,
yes, I know you're talking
about.
But
he kept calling me a nun when we were going up the stairs the day, like after recess. And I was probably like in fifth grade or fourth grade. And it was like
Cisneros.
Cisneros.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I always thought he was so cute. Their family was just like gorgeous people.
Yeah.
But I, you know, was just like, okay. But I don't know. Like, I did okay in school as far as
socially, you did a lot better than I did.
Yeah, I did. I was more outgoing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, like, we're so close now and we have so much in common now, you and I. Yeah. But growing up, we were like complete opposites.
Yeah.
We hated each other. And I felt like I was more like always, and I'm sure the cult had something to do with it, because you were always trying to do the right thing.
Oh,
and like go along with everything and do the right thing. And you couldn't stand that I was the opposite. And I was always just like, well, I don't understand. And I was, I had so much attitude.
I think you voiced everything that I was thinking.
I know.
Like, subconsciously, it made me like, I don't know, like jealous maybe, because you were actually able to speak your feelings and I wasn't, because I was so like,
and I always just hated you because I was like, she doesn't understand it. She just does it all. But it's part of survival. Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, starting this podcast. I was like, you know, we were so different, but we were both just trying to survive the system, you know, in our own ways that, you know, that helped you just to go along and make it
right
what it was, you know, right, just to survive. And so, but now we have all this in common with adoption and thyroid problems and all kinds of cool stuff, that it's hard not to be close anymore.
Yeah.
And
our ailments have required us.
They have to be. And I think you've gone through so much with therapy. And
yeah,
I did that several years ago. And I think just being able to be honest about things is really, really good.
It definitely changes. And I just did an interview this morning with a trauma therapist. And she focuses a lot on religious trauma and survivors of religious trauma. And it is very interesting, like you were just talking about, with the coping mechanisms. You know, these were truly survival mechanisms. And they're so ingrained. Like, I was talking to her about some that I still have, that it's so ingrained. You just, it's go to, like, I'm very afraid to be wrong. Because everything was, you know, you were all be a certain way. And I was a rule follower. So I was always right. Like, I truly was like, if I'm going to sneak around, I'm not going to get caught. Like, I was a perfect rule follower. And when I wasn't a rule follower, you would never know about it. So, you know, and so now I have this inside me that's like, anytime someone wants even like helpful criticism, I bristle, and I'm just like very defensive about even like Dwayne and I conversations. He'll like say something like not even in a bad way or whatever, not even meaning anything. And I'm just like, excuse me? Yeah, I did have two pieces of bread. You got a problem with it? Like, I just instantly want to be like very defensive.
Yes.
So it is quite something to unlearn that and to realize like, oh, I'm not in danger right now. I don't have to be perfect. I can mess up, and that's okay. Like, that's human. So yeah, it's very, very interesting. But I think learning all of that has got me to the place where even like with you, I can relate a lot more, where I was so closed off before that it was just very hard to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Great thing.
But anyway, moving towards Christmas celebration, joy and laughter and cheer. Oh, you wanted me to show that video. Let me see.
Do both. I want to see the first one. I want our followers to hear that.
Okay.
So basically, we have touched on this before on this IG account that was made, and it's still some of the cult leaders that are still currently in the cult, basically leading it. And so they will post videos of him, and it's like a very humorous IG account. Well, they get very angry at the cult for any type of celebration, but Christmas is a big one.
Yeah.
And Christmas, it's like they get angry that people are celebrating it. They're so mad.
Well, it's very wrong.
Celebrating it. And so you can hear in his first, that Shannon's going to show you, in the first clip, it's him really preaching to his fellowship, what you call it, or
assembly. I mean, we called the different ones assemblies, not church.
Not we're not ever. Church was a very bad word. Mm-hmm. And so this is just him, and this is what we grew up listening to every Sunday, Wednesday night, Friday night. So just to give you a little hint.
Tell me if you can hear this or not.
Okay.
And
but can you show them too?
Yeah.
It's just
as a family and
okay. Is this the one you want
to? Yes. This is a good time for us to soberly sit down as a family and reflect on the beauty of Jesus Christ coming to this earth for mankind. That's not what it's about. And you're not spiritual enough to sanctify it. It is a full faith. Because it's a mixture of light and darkness, which darkens the light. It brings shame on the testimony of God. It can't be used to worship.
That is the best. I was thinking more the real one to give people an understanding. But you know, he just reminded me of there, just seeing that. That gym guy from that cult that did drink the Kool-Aid.
Oh,
actually,
Jim Jones.
Like him, Jim Jones.
It's because it's word salad. They literally just like throw words into a bowl and mix them up and then say, because lightness darkens the dark.
Cool. It's like so bad.
It's so bad.
And that's like his voice used to scare the living daylights out of us because anything he said was truth.
True.
Gold. And so anyway, let's see the second clip.
I got it. Yep, I got it. Here we are.
Okay, so
celebration of truth. No, there's a whole bunch of ways I know it's not. One is the world can receive it. The world does it. The unsaved world celebrates Christmas as much as the saved world does.
What?
But this spirit can't be received by the world. This spirit is about truth. That can't be a celebration of Jesus, of the scriptures, because he is holy. That is a defiled celebration. That is a sick, defiled celebration. And it's all about love and the birth of Jesus. Who would want a celebration of the birth of Jesus to be characterized by overspending, competition with one another, and lights and murmur and glitz and parties and drunkenness, immorality, partying with the unsaved and the saved? Who would want that kind of mixture?
Okay, so my question on that is, like, aren't we supposed to be a light to the world? So shouldn't we be going and shining a light?
Weird. So weird. Nothing will ever make sense.
Nothing.
It's so bad. And that's what we, like, hours and hours and hours of that we listened to growing up. So when I left the church, I told myself I am never judging another person again for anything, like who they decide to love, who they are. Like, it, I had to rethink everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's the reason why I love so many different cultures now, so many different people that are all different types of people and cultures and religions, even. Like, it is just so amazing to me, the different people you meet out there. And I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. And I think it's just because we weren't able to have that. Like, we were so closed off to being accepting anyone for differences. You had to be exactly like us, or you were like Satan, basically. Or going
And it's so messed up, like, that whole mindset, because it's like the opposite of what the Bible said. If they're really truly, like, they just counteract their own words by saying everything's biblical and by the Bible, and yet it really isn't. Like, God shows love to everyone, and yet we can't. So I don't know.
It's so bad. But that just gives you an example of what we live
through.
Years and years and years and hours and hours and hours. And several leaders that were just
the same words came out of their mouths. I mean, it was just different.
And how did we even? And that's why I tend to have a hard time going to church today. I'm just being honest I have a hard time. Like, I like to worship. I like to sing. Mm-hmm. That is all good for me. But like to hear someone like tell you something, I don't receive it very well.
Yeah.
And so that's just my own thing. But
that's me too. It's really sad too for a majority of people that come from, you know, backgrounds with a religious abuse or high control backgrounds. It's really hard, your whole like viewpoint on God, you know, because it changes completely. When I look back on my childhood and what I was taught about God, it is almost opposite of what I think of God now. And the freedom of just believing what I want, I guess, and not to say, oh, I wouldn't like listen to the Bible or something, but like there's freedom in not having to follow what the person up front says. And maybe I like listening to someone up front, but I've learned, oh, I can let some things go. Like, you don't have to agree with everything. Yes. And, you know, I think we got so burned with that. It's just like constant. Everyone's on the same page. It's like, are we really? I don't think we are.
But are we?
Really, really don't think we are. That's cute. But so our Christmas memories growing up were definitely different than the norm. And so, like, I hated the whole month of December when we were growing up, because at school, everyone's talking about, oh, there's more presents under the tree, and oh, we're going to have hot chocolate and cookies and all the fun stuff that a normal kid wants to do.
I love it.
I'm just like hiding, like hoping no one asks me,
oh,
what color ornaments are in your tree?
We do not believe in pagan holidays, so that's pretty.
And you know what? Yeah. Every fourth grader appreciates that answer. I do not celebrate pagan holidays. And they're like, oh, I get it. Okay. I get it.
It makes sense. You're right. Accepted into our group.
I feel it. But
so what did we get to do on Christmas instead of like actual Christmas?
Well, we had camp. So
explain a little bit about what camp was.
I did a little bit last night, but this.
Oh, okay.
Audience.
Sorry.
No. It's a good explanation because you really need to paint a picture of the beauty that we.
And
be
this
cool.
is where Jason wanted to chime in.
Yeah. Sure. I'm sure he has some real good stories. I wish he was on right now and he could drop some in the comments. But during Christmas time. It didn't matter where Christmas fell. The only difference that would make is how long or short camp would be. Because if it fell like on a Wednesday, oh, you better believe it. It's going to be a long camp because you would start like Friday night and you have to go all the way till Christmas because the devil will tempt you to put up a tree if you're home the day before. Or buy a gift, you know, like it's.
Do you think mom was just like praying every year would fall on a weekend?
Oh, so short camp. I think she probably prayed more like, I bet if like COVID would have been a thing back then, she would have been like, give me some COVID, God.
So I don't have to go.
Load me up.
Remember when she had Nicole? Nicole's our younger sister.
Yeah.
And we were at a camp.
July camp.
And
we leave?
A summer camp. No, we didn't leave. But mom had to go birth the baby in the hospital, so she had to leave. So she had like the best excuse ever to leave camp. Is you left camp only for like the birth of a baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Had they had the skills to birth that baby there, she would not have been able to leave.
Oh, I'm sure they had the skills. She just was smarter than that because we're a very skillful group.
We didn't do all things. Yeah. So camp.
Yeah. So anyway, let's just give you a little bit of a background on what our association looked like. All right. So we had no name because taking a name of anything, of course, now they have a name, but for tax purposes, I'm sure. But we were not allowed to take a name because you should only be meeting under the name of God. And so no other name.
It was sin. Yeah.
No, it was. It was like, yeah, it was not okay. So no name, cult. And we had different assemblies, we called them. So these would be like different sects, I would kind of say. And you would have like, so ours was in Northern California. We called our Sacramento Assembly.
Really?
And then we had like the LA Riverside Assembly.
Riverside and LA.
And LA. And then we had the San Luis Assembly.
Yeah. Tulare.
Tulare. Oh, yeah. Tulare.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that. Gorgeous town.
Well, that's where we're going to enjoy Christmas. And then in Texas, there was one. In Oklahoma, there was one. In Canada, there was one. In Mexico, Virginia. There was one. Virginia. So we had, you know, a good maybe 10-ish different assemblies, let's say, and all believing the same crap. So during Christmas time, when you really want to ensure that your power is still enforced and that you are in control of this group of people, we meet at the Tulare Fairgrounds. I have lots of family live in Tulare, and I know they don't mind me saying this. It smells like cow dung all winter long. Pretty much all year long, but in the winter it's really bad because the fog, it bogs.
It is in your face.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. The fog bogs the smell down. So the cows are like fluctuating over here. And then it goes in the air. And then the fog's like, whoop. And it's just like, fairgrounds. Let's park right there and let's hang out till Christmas. Then we're good.
We're going to tell our crew what to do this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So it smelled. And it was foggy and it was cold. It was miserable. Not like snowing cold. We're talking like Central California. So it's like farm country, which is why it smells like cows. But it was cold. The fog was like
very cold.
So anyway, anyone from any of the assemblies is always welcome at any of the other assemblies. And you always would have people staying at your house if someone visited. Like you never, ever would get a motel. And so you would just stay with other people. So
they had dorms too at the campground.
Oh, we're getting to that.
Oh my gosh.
We had the women's dorm, right. And the men's dorm. And then you would have like different, I'm trying to think at the Tulare Fairgrounds, if we had different times for showering or if there was actually men's and women's showers. I don't remember at that location, but so here's the thing at the Tulare one, we had family that lived in Tulare, and they still do. So our family would always stay with our other family that lived in Tulare. Well, when we got old enough and we're like, I want to stay in the dorms with my friends. We did. And that was just the whole experience. But I remember mom never wanting us to stay at the dorms.
I know, because I almost got kicked out.
Oh,
like I was being disrespectful to one of the dorm moms. And because he was a little rebellious, and as a teenager, me and Terry Burkle.
Imagine that.
And I'm pretty sure her mom was there, but we were upsetting one of the elderly there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we were doing that. We were like the best kids ever. Like,
think of what we got in trouble for.
Like,
and like, we would do skits.
Laugh too loud or something.
Do you remember doing skits in the dorms? Like, I remember, I don't know if it was a Tulare dorm.
That was King City. That was King City.
Yes. Because we got in trouble for that. It was like my group, too, like Lori and I don't remember all who. But we got in trouble for that because we were having too much fun.
You can't be too. You can't.
Sober-minded.
You can laugh, but you want to be sober. Like, you can't.
I mean, it's like.
My mom was always like. Doing funny things and like she was just like doing hilarious things, do skits, mm-hmm. do different things, but we'd get in trouble for it a lot. And it's like they didn't want you to have too much fun because you weren't serious enough about like God. But like, hello, this is why Shannon has a show and you follow her Instagram and everything. Humor is healing, you know, even the IG account for Grover. It's like humor is necessary in life. Like if we talked about this and couldn't laugh about it, you would just cry and
we'd be
dive into a hole and be like, this was awful. But in all, obviously we have years coming out of it and therapy and stuff to help us. But like, you have to laugh at life, you know, and I think that was lacking there for sure.
Humor.
It's still lacking. I mean,
right. I don't know. That little meeting clip I just shared with you.
And I don't know. You forgot the fa la 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 one.
Oh, and I don't know if you saw on the one I did share, a person had gotten up and walked in front of the camera. But she's going to get a little rebukal.
You don't shut up with.
You should have held the pee during the Christmas sermon. You should have held the pee.
This is.
Okay, let me see if I can find
it. Oh, that one. That's it. Okay.
Okay.
This is good. This is love. This is there's just love. Just, you know, tra-la-la-la-la. Yeah, right. Tra-la-la. Yeah, join the group of your choice. Join the, start your own. Start your own.
There's the current sign that they meet under in the building.
At the building. There it is. It's legit.
No name.
No name. But we do have a name.
Trauma, la la la.
Because it does look like a legit church sign, too.
That's oh, I know.
So weird.
It is.
Show the next one with the song.
Okay.
I mean, we just, I love this stuff.
This is good. This is love. This is a, there's love.
It's so good. So that again is just a reminder of what like angry and mad and like sarcastic they get about other people. And it's like, look, if you want to live your life, if you want to leave this way, just do it. Why do you have to just put other people down? Like, we put so many other people down, other churches, other religions, other anyone for doing anything different than we thought was truth, basically. And it's like, just let people live their life and don't try to change. I don't know. They're just so angry.
It was all about control, though, too, I think. And like, honestly, that the judgmental part, we were like, being out for as long as I have, 12 years now, we're the most judgmental group of people I have ever encountered. And it's very interesting because my husband, Dwayne, does a golf trip with some friends every year. And some are from our past cult. Some of the guys are from it. And they're all out now. But there's one in particular that so judgmental still, like making fun of like someone walking across the street, like stupid stuff. And yet it's that deep. And I'm like, it doesn't even surprise me because people get out and they don't get help. And then they're just like, tra-la-la, la-la, like I'm fixed.
Same. Yes.
So.
And it's still in that. It's still in your, that. And that stuff that just doesn't go away on its own.
No.
Like it really.
You have to be so purposeful. Yeah. And because like I feel in my brain, like I was just talking to a friend about this, like I internally am still very judgmental. It's like I have to turn it off. Like I have to consciously be like, knock it off. Stop it right now. It doesn't matter. And I feel like it's been years of trying to do that. And I do feel like it's gotten easier. So it's possible.
Yeah.
I do feel like it was just so ingrained that we were right and everyone else was wrong. So let's make fun of everyone and criticize everyone. So yeah, pretty sad.
And I feel like I had like an, again, being opposites, I was so opposite because when I left, I had like not a lot of support in my family. Everybody was still there. And so I was just like, I'm never judging anyone again. And I just accepted all the people like I'm stupid, you know, and I just maybe went a little on the other side of things, but I didn't care. I was just like, this is love. People like, for instance, when I moved to Seattle, it was a long story to get there, but that's where I was. And I was kind of all alone. And again, my family, the core of the people that I knew were still in the cult.
And it's not like we were helping at all. Still be in it. It's not like we were like after you or anything.
It was just hard because I felt a lot of judgment. I was the first.
There was a lot of judgment.
There was a lot of judgment. I was the first like to go through a divorce from the cult. And so just feeling the judgment of all of that, I was told like, this is going to kill your grandparents because I was going through a divorce and that was going to kill them because it was so sinful. So anyway, a lot of that background. And so I was in Seattle, but like the kindest people that I had didn't know at all, ended up being gay and lesbian people in Seattle, which I guess Seattle's like the biggest area for lesbians. I don't know.
Or maybe at that time it was. Yeah.
At that time. It was like 2007. And I was just like always trying in my mind to say, like, what is love? What is love? Well, these random people are inviting me over, don't even know me, don't care. I'm this like weird little girl living in Seattle on my own, just would have me over. And I was like, gosh, that seems loving to me, you know? And so I just had to think,
that amazing.
Like, yeah, I was like, wow, this is really loving. And they showed me a lot of kindness when they didn't have to at all.
Right.
And so that kind of really, really changed my viewpoint on a lot of things that we were taught, obviously.
Right.
Gay and lesbian people were like the worst of the worst.
Right. And how dare you associate.
So, yeah. Definitely sinning on
that. But isn't that so interesting? And that's what I find the more you're out of that situation, is there are so many amazing people that we wouldn't have even looked at back in the day.
No.
That I am very good friends with, and it's okay. Like, I the amount of friendships we missed out on growing up makes me sick, because we just were not allowed to meet normal people. Here's a picture of you and Dakota in Seattle. So this is my son Dakota. When he was 9 months old, I hadn't seen Carrie in years, probably. I think you can. No.
Well, I came and visited by, and I was having a hard time. And
yes.
I visited, and then, but you know, it's still awkward. It's like, even when people are still in the cult, you can see them, but you're not like this, because you're always like, I would have conversations with my parents, and they were always trying to talk me back into coming to the church. So you didn't really feel like you were ever accepted for like where you were. But I went and visited Shannon DeWayne before I left, and I remember crying a lot, because I was like, my nephew, who I loved so much. He was like my world. Like the cutest, chubbiest baby, and like the whole,
he was the best.
So like thinking of leaving him to move to Seattle was really hard for me, even though I wasn't like super close to Shannon at that time. Like, I loved him so much.
Yeah.
And so they did come to visit me. I remember
it was just like a couple months after you moved, because moved you down there or up there.
Yeah.
And then I remember he was 9 months old, so I don't remember exactly when he moved, what month it was. But yeah, but you know what's interesting about that I'm sure you remember, but that trip for me, I went by myself with Dakota, which was kind of a rarity anyways. We didn't just travel a lot.
I think you felt bad for me.
I was so bad
when I left.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I wanted to visit you. It was so exciting. But going there, you probably don't even think about it being weird, but I sure did. I wore skirts like a good girl should. Like, I went to Seattle, wore my skirts, like modest as can be. But one morning, she lived in like a high rise apartment, and you would walk to get groceries, and then you would just get whatever you needed that you could carry and walk back. So we were going to walk down to the grocery store and get some things. And I had my pajama pants on. I read with
Alexander. Remember this?
And I wore them to the grocery store. And this is just how sad and self-conscious.
Because I was wearing pants the whole time, right?
Oh, yeah. You were in pants at that point. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was a wreck thinking someone. Here I am. I know no one in the Seattle area at all. And I
think about people, but more
to find that people are
going to downtown of all places, like, you know, if they were from the cold, they'd be like in the sticks somewhere.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember being so self-conscious, like, someone is going to see me in my pants. But that was one of the very first times that I wore pants in public.
Whoa.
Yeah. So you kind of might have a totally like, you know, and a bad influence on me.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And it's so weird, because when I think about it, we took the little ferry over and we had lunch at one of the islands. So it was really cool. But it's like you had nothing to talk about.
It's so true.
I couldn't be honest with her about what was going on with me, because I don't think I shared anything about my divorce with you.
No.
Like,
no.
At all. And I needed to. Like, there was so much I needed to talk to with people. But
yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is, because if you're not you explain it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because you're so, when you're on the inside, it's constantly, if you had family like Carrie that left, you're so worried about them constantly. And like, I mean, in meetings, you know, it would get prayed for.
Yeah.
Or they would talk
about a lot.
A lot of prayers. And obviously the prayers were not like going through the ceiling because
they didn't work.
You did not come back like you should have with all the prayers your way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was, and you, as far as like the superficial conversations and relationships, that wasn't just with you that left. That was how we lived our lives.
Yeah.
There was no serious conversations going on. So you all, like when you were together with your friends at the church group, whatever, it was all literally talking about the weather. I mean, that's like as deep as it was.
Or you talk about people that gossip.
Yes,
you gossip about people in the
all
church.
The time. But that's we don't all gossip, they do. But all we did was
eat
food.
You just talk about people and their struggles. But like you could never open up to someone and say, hey, I'm struggling with this.
Ever.
Like you just didn't do that.
Well,
and then they would hide so many things. Like they would hide people's really bad stuff that should have gone to the police.
Yeah.
And they would just handle it themselves. So the leaders.
And why is that? Because those people had the right last names. Because if you didn't have the right last name, you were up on the stage getting rebukled. Yes. So, you know, it's a slippery slope it is. But anyway, so all that say, like, we did not have any deep relationships. So yeah, when you left it from the inside, it's basically you're just very concerned and worried about the person on the outside, and you're just praying that the Lord will bring them back into the assembly, the fold. So that was that, but that was a great trip. I have so many good memories of that trip. And
loved it. I just feel like he's always been special to me because he was our first baby in the family. And remember taking him out like on the thing outside, like we had this like
area. Beautiful.
And he was like 9 months, which is like my favorite ever. He was precious. He was so good.
He truly
was special. And you got to look at the positive because I felt so bonded to him.
Yes. And I'm glad we did that. And I like to talk about this just briefly is like we had a good time. There are things about our cult and all cults that can be very appealing to other people.
Right.
And it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean like everything was awful. Most things were. Like looking back, I think about like, but someone would be like, oh, but what about such and such party? Yeah, I got in trouble at that party. Or like everything is ruined with the feeling of guilt or anything fun was guilt ridden. Or like Friday nights. I was talking about this the other day, like sports. The guys get to play basketball. We literally ate and watched them play basketball. That's it. That's what we did. Like
they were trying to fatten us up. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'd be like, you need to buy a new skirt.
When you get a little sun.
Girls are too cute.
It was definitely not gender role conscious or whatever.
No. And still, I'm sure it's not. But anyway, let's get back to camps.
Christmas
and camp. Christmas, tra-la-la-la-la. Okay, so we would go to these fairgrounds where it's smelly, cold, and a bunch of people. And so, like, there's probably 1,000 people at camp, 700,000.
Full and a bunch of people, like, jean skirts to the ground, cold. And, like, when jean is cold, everything is cold. Do you know what I mean?
It is. I'm thinking through it right now, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, you don't want to wear jeans. Like, you want to wear sweatpants.
Yes.
I mean, or like leggings or something like that. Okay.
Speaking of sweatpants, should I share the story about our looky-loo neighbor?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. So here's a good story. So we lived on 5 acres in the
country. I happened to marry his son. That was my first marriage. I'm on a second. But yeah. So amazing. Okay. You could only marry in the church, but there's just so many topics. Okay, go ahead.
There's so many topics, but this is such a fun little.
And it really has nothing.
It's nothing to do with Christmas. You know, it might have been around Christmas time, though, because we were hauling firewood.
Cool. Yeah.
It was cold. So we live on 5 acres. The adjoining 2 5-acre acres next to us, one, we had our family friends. I talked about them a lot last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Amy was our friend who, So, and then on the other 5 acres was the family, like my sister just mentioned, who she married into. Because it's convenient, you know, it's like, ta-da, open your door. Hey, let's do it. So anyhow, their house was kind of up on a hill a little bit higher than ours. And they had a 2-story. And then it over, like, it was far away, but you could see, like, down our driveway. And we had, like, a 2-story garage.
But like far away. You're talking
far away.
Acres here.
Yeah. Far away.
In the both.
Far away. Yes. In the house, thank God you couldn't see the house from their house.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine.
That would have been bad. We had a lot of trees over our house.
Yes.
Coverage. For
also, though, their boys used to come over and sneak and watch us swimming through the fence.
Should have been a sign.
It should have been a sign, but you married them anyway. So obviously, we had a lot of training on good choices.
I was engaged at 17, so it's like, how did I not know? Like,
I so weird.
So weird.
It was so fun being in high school, and I'd show off my ring, and they'd be like, oh, my God, is it real? And I'm like, yeah.
But you were a late bloomer because you didn't get married until you're 19.
I know. I know.
That was kind of old.
I waited like a full year after high school.
Okay, back to the story. Back.
Okay, so that's the situation of how it's set up on our properties. So my sister and I, Carrie here, we were hauling firewood from this 2-story garage area up to our house that you couldn't see. And I'm sure it was a Christmassy time of year. We're just going to say it is. And to stick with our theme. And we're carrying firewood back and forth. Here's the kicker. In our sweats.
Because at home, we got to wear what we wanted.
We were on.
Like, our parents didn't care. Like,
No, they did not care. But here we are. Way, 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 way far away on our property, wearing sweatpants, carrying firewood. No one else is with us. It's just us carrying firewood. Well, here's where it gets real creepy. From the upstairs.
You have to have binoculars.
Oh, no. That's 100% there were binoculars. From the, and this is the only place you could have seen where we were at. From the upstairs master bedroom is the only possible way, unless someone was closer to our house, spying on us, or on the roof. Yeah, or on the roof. With binoculars, sauce and sweats. So here we are, minding our own business, just doing our chores. And it got brought up to leadership that we were wearing pants. That might like screw up.
Let's describe these pants. It was probably in the 90s because, you know, of our age.
They think they're wearing baggy pants.
I mean,
now.
The bag. Baggy-ness of these pants. They were a wider than wide could be, these pants.
Oh.
Like, they're the baggiest sweatpants you've ever seen.
I don't know. Mine.
Yeah. So much baggy-ness. But yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's so good. Cynthia,
but there were
for letting us know. You are welcome.
Oh, Cynthia, your life has just gotten so much better from that.
Yeah.
But there were other families there, just to explain, that were more conservative in the household. They had to wear their skirts all the time around the family. They couldn't. And those are the families that I feel like have suffered even a lot
even
more mentally because, you know.
It's sorry, I'm making up a lost childhood time.
That's all good. I know. I love Christmas.
There we go.
And it's, don't you just, like, I feel like overdo it now with Christmas so much. Because then I have to remind my husband, do you know?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
How many years I went without Christmas?
I know.
So just right. I want to be opening
my them all
gifts on Christmas. And I do. I'm like, you go shopping with the girls and you guys find me something and I want it wrapped under the tree. And I know, like, I do Dollar Tree wrapping all the time, but I know he spends so much like on these beautiful bags that he gets. And it's like, whatever. I'm not going to say no because.
Right.
I want a Christmas.
Yes. I want to open something and I want to be surprised. I know.
Surprise. And yes. I want gifts for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because I do.
We have a lot of time to make up.
Yeah. And I have to remind him that. And he knows.
Yeah.
We talk about it. Not a lot. But like,
he's like, oh, that is sad.
Oh.
That is real. Poor you.
So
this new wardrobe change I just did. I don't think we were allowed to wear animal print, were we?
I doubt.
I feel like animal print was like sexy.
Vera.
Yeah. Like,
we obviously do not know how to be sexy.
Obviously, we were real sexy. Yeah, that was fun times. Oh, gosh. Okay, where was I at? Okay, so we talked about the sweatpants story. Disgusting. Like,
oh, the candy. That's what we did for Christmas. And so now I feel like I just overdo. Christmas.
Yeah, no.
I just want, and I'm not talking about gifts so much. I do go overboard too, but like, I want to do the gingerbread.
Yeah,
and I want to do this. We're just listening to the Christmas music.
Yes.
And the lights.
Oh,
we go crazy. And I love this year was a little lights. Different, but like inside, we got a new tree this year, and just doing all that with the kids. Like we decorate the tree, they get so excited.
Yeah.
And we all wear our hats and we're decorating our tree and just like it's so much good family stuff together.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
So much good.
Yeah. It is. It's such a well, and for us, I know for me, I guess, it was like kind of hard to create traditions because we didn't grow up with any Christmas traditions. So it was kind of like testing the waters, like I don't know, like what do people do? Like we didn't know what to do or any kind of fun activities, and so it was kind of like a learning process of okay, let's figure out what kind of traditions we want to do.
Yeah, and you already had kids too when you got out.
Yeah,
and that's what I forget. Like I was out when I had kids, and so I had to just decide like what do we want to do? Like what is it? And it changes. Sometimes it changes, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
but sure. Certain things like we'll, I don't know. I'm trying to think, but like I'll let them open a gift on Christmas Eve. I don't know.
Yes.
If it's like a thing or not, but that's what we do. And then, I don't know, just the fancy dinner and just like being together watching Christmas movies and all that kind of stuff. And this year I got an advent calendar actually.
Yeah. I did not do that year. Please do.
I have these two gingerbread from Target. Oh my gosh, they're so cute. And they leave stuff in the calendars every night.
Oh.
Kind of like the elf, but I do it with gingerbread.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's really fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
So I think you should, you're just always creating whatever, you know, like it changes yearly for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's the joy of being where we're at now is it's okay to change. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to change your beliefs. Like that's life. Thank you, Gretchen. I really put a lot of effort into that. So I'm glad.
It's so good. Oh, Gretchen. I love
Gretchen.
You were always such a good
person. Okay. I talk about what a weird group. I say weird group all the time.
Yeah.
And when people like her say something, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like there was some amazing people too. Yeah.
And
like,
Cynthia, not that you're not, because you were too. And you have been through so much. So
yeah, no, it is.
Gretchen can see us. Well, Gretchen was at that household a lot because she worked for them. So, you know, that goes,
so she's saying
she knows. She's been in that house. She knows that you can see, but only with binoculars. That was so funny.
No binoculars.
Oh, no binoculars.
Dang it. That makes the story less interesting, Gretchen. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. No, there were really good people.
There were some such amazing. Look, she kept it pan. Oh, that's so precious.
Yeah.
She was such a good person. I mean, she's...
Thank you for chiming in. After our last podcast, I had some messages from people, and we'll get to them in our future podcast for sure. Mm-hmm. But, I didn't even ask if I could mention them. Do you think I should mention them or no?
Yeah.
The people that... Okay. So one of them was Bethany Payton, and she and I just had a nice conversation just through Instagram, and... you know, she had been through so much and still, you know, but I just love her. And I was just
so
like telling her, I'm so happy to see you in your life and where you're at. And just, you know, because she kind of left when like me, where her family wasn't like, you know, just not supported. And it wasn't like during a split and stuff. And so I remember thinking, oh, Bethany's on a bad road, you know. Myself, because I don't know,
of course,
but we did, and I'm just so happy to
very worried.
Oh, and where she's at, and she's such a like creative, artistic person.
I know,
and it's nice to reconnect with people from many years ago that are doing well now, and it's just gives you hope that like people can get out and make a better life for themselves,
right?
Even if it's on their own without their family at the time, you know?
Which it's that way for a lot of people. I mean, they may make it, but are they still going to camps? How happy can you be without camps?
Can you look at that clip, though, the one with James where he's saying about camp? We can get that on another night.
Okay.
I know we're getting to 1 hour here.
Well, let's real quick. I don't have any pictures, I don't think, of our actual camp in Tulare currently like in my possession at this
point.
But I have a couple of just fun ones from, like, do you remember Pilot Lake Camp?
Oh yeah.
So here's just all the little girls in their skirts getting ready for a little canoe ride.
If we went over on that canoe, those life floaties would have taken those jean skirts would have been fighting with those life floaties.
You would have had to wear at least 3 or 4 life jackets to even try to counterbalance a denim skirt. I'm sorry, you are going down.
And like, the canoes were so skinny, you just never knew if you were gonna go over.
It was like a surprise, you know, like every time it's like, well, is today the day
that we're gonna lose our life,
that we may never come back? I mean, you know, there is some positive.
Okay, that's a good picture.
So that's a good one. Here's one, I believe this is from McCumber Camp, and this was just a great example of men folk playing football in their Levi's because denim is quick dry. Shafy. So, and of what were we doing during this time?
You may sitting ask? On the sidelines eating.
Hold on. I have
one
picture from the and back before selfies, but this was us.
Oh,
precious. Precious little fiancés watching our men do their thing.
Tag Rose in this now. Lori is still.
Oh, yeah. She's still part, but Rose isn't. We can tag her.
Rose.
Yeah. So, that's braces. So, do I have braces? Oh, I do. So, I wasn't engaged quite yet because I was 13.
But you were on the sidelines rooting for your man.
I already knew who I was going to marry. That's for sure.
So, it's not like arranged marriages, but is it? Can you have like a few, three guys to choose from, maybe?
Well,
in your age range,
let's back it up a bit because we're talking about camps. It may have been presents and gifts, but it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving, because at camps, it was the time that you are scoping out your options.
Because you had guys from Texas, Virginia.
Oh, there were some hotties.
Woo! I mean, so you would have more than just one or two families to choose from.
Oh,
or guys.
Right. Well, it was better than just our local assembly. We had options. Oh, my gosh, Gretchen, I'm dying. Oh, my God.
Oh, are great.
Bad for, but so true. Like how lost. I'm sure that was so awkward because she came in later. Like that would be so weird.
Lost.
So weird. But that's where you found your man. That was the fishing spot, basically.
Yeah.
Like you are. And that's why at 12 years old, I knew who I was going to marry. And it wasn't an arranged marriage necessarily, like you said, but it was definitely like everyone else step off. That one's mine. And it was just like, you had to kind of put your foot down.
I feel like you had some competition too. Like I felt like, I don't know, when the Texas girls would come in, it'd be like, no, you don't understand what's going on here in California.
Yes. Yeah, you'd have our guys would get Texas girls instead, or guys were after me.
No, the girls would be after them.
Oh, yeah,
like you know, just around the sidelines. Mm-hmm. It's like you're sitting at that basketball game,
and you're having to be like, and scare them away, and be like, "Remember, he's mine. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna like get you in the dorm. Watch out." But camp time was honestly. The most exciting part about it was scoping out. And then once you pick, kind of making sure, do I want to change my mind? Maybe someone new comes up, which never.
But you very rarely change your mind. It's just not, it doesn't happen.
No. And a lot of people married people because of this from different assemblies. So you might be marrying someone in Texas. And back then it was like collect calls and snail mail. So how well do you really know this
person? Oh my God.
That you're committing your life to? And you live with your parents until you get married. So the only really way you know is writing letters for someone, to someone. And that's how well you know them. But that was a good benefit of camps because you got to like hang out while you ate your shredded lettuce lunch and just visit with, I know, so... So last night I was talking a little bit about this too.
No, the leaders were the ones that decided what they wanted to eat. Do you know that?
No.
I 100% believe that the leaders are the ones that decided.
They
or their wife.
What? You know what? I bet they did because remember the Atkins diet was hot.
Yeah.
And then we had salads all the time.
Lost.
We still had cookies. But,
okay, anyway, what were you going to say? And the next picture.
The camps. So camps were the meetings at camps. What we would do at camps. You would come. You would either park
early morning
or your trailer. Or you'd stay in the dorm or you'd stay local. And you would come in the morning for 10 o'clock for our first service. We went
10?
Our first meeting.
Because we had breakfast first together.
Right. We had breakfast first.
We fellowship.
And then meeting. This meeting was the shorter one of the two, typically, because lunch was after. So you have breakfast, sit down for 2 hours, maybe 2.5 to 4-ish, and then you would go have lunch. Someone reminded me last night that you could get out of part of meeting if you volunteered.
Yeah, everyone wanted to be. And that filled up so quick.
Yeah,
that list filled up so quick.
All the young people wanted to help with lunchtime instead of dinner time.
But then they would get rebuked a bit if everyone just signed up for that and then they knew.
So they would sign up for other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. I agree. Yeah. 100% on that. So that was your life, though. I mean, that was camp. Meetings, eating, meetings. And so then you would have a little break after lunch where the men folk would play volleyball. Sometimes if the women could, I mean, I really don't know what the deciding factor was there, but some women did play volleyball. There was some from LA that were really, really good and the guys didn't let them play with them and we hated them.
But the guys were so serious, LA, I remember.
So serious. Like
it was like sand volleyball wannabes, you know?
But you're playing on crusty, grassy dirt and you are in your jeans. And, you know who used to freak me out was Chad Howell. He would be so intense about it. And I'm like, oh, I'm playing here. So scary. And so critical. Like, so many of them. It's like, sorry, I've played volleyball once in my life. Can you not criticize
me? And I'll
jump in a skirt.
And I have a jean skirt to the bottom of the ground. You try it, dude. You try it.
They're probably thinking, well, I'm doing it in jeans, so you should be able to do it in a jean skirt.
We did a lot in jean skirts, I will say. Well, I mean, everything. I would tell my friends at school, I like because we'd have to do the
physical
activities. Yes. And I'd be like, I do everything in a skirt. It's not even a big deal.
Don't feel bad for me. I'm fine. I was not okay. Fine.
Next.
I was not fine.
Or wait, what were you going to discuss?
No, I was just saying that was our camp. And then you would play volleyball. And then you would take a shower, maybe, if you're clean. And usually you would because you're trying to impress the other, gender. Yeah. And then you would be like, dinner, and then meeting again. So the second meeting would start 7:30.
You'd want to be on the cleanup crew for dinner.
You'd want to be on the cleanup crew. That is a life.
Didn't we do hot cocoa after the meeting, too? Hot cocoa and snacks or something?
Maybe. Like the last night. It was like fun night. And everyone would bring a homemade snack, and we'd put them out on fun night.
Oh, snack bar.
And play Rook. Oh, they're snack bar because they played basketball in our dorms.
Yeah.
Do you remember they moved our dorms and they started playing basketball in there?
Yeah.
Not us. And then you would start the 7 o'clock meeting. And this is the meeting that could carry on a bit, like possibly till 3 a.m. because these men knew there was no limit. So it was so fun because anyone could just stand up, and we like to call them testimonies, but it wasn't testimonies. It was like a testimony is like a story, your life story, or you're saying something that happened. This was more just like, so the other day I was in the parking lot at Walmart, and there was this person, and it really looked like they needed the Lord. And so I went and talked to them, and I gave them the track about you are going to hell, and I'm pretty sure they were saved. And then everyone I almost said claps. We do not clap. No noises. There was just a hush where you're assuming
amen.
Everyone.
You would hear it.
Oh, amen.
Here and there.
Yes. Like, amen. Yeah. Not women again, but amen. And then the next person would share their story. And a lot of times it was like good deed stuff. Like, I did a good deed, but I need everyone to know about it. And so, it's cute and very humble. But that could go on till, and I'm not joking, 3 a.m. And sometimes there'd be like random people that'd be like, I'm feeling led, although I don't think we talked that way, to sing a song. And so you would get up for an extra special number, and it's like, cool, that's what we needed at midnight. So long. What I'm trying to say is long meetings all the time. Gretchen is saying that when she was a teen, they had 7:30 meetings before breakfast, too. You know what? I do remember that, actually. We just never went. Yes. That is commitment. And that's probably why I wanted to stay in the dorm, so I could get on over there and get to that extra meeting, because I probably needed
that. Is such a drag. But like, and then people would stand up. They would try to get like the teens to stand up.
Yes. Oh, and so much pressure. Like,
I'm just so thankful for my family. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for my cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for this meeting and your message. That message just really spoke to me. And
amen.
I'm just thankful to be here.
And then if you said
you had
that,
a mic runner. Do you know the
mic runner? Mic runner, that was a serious job. I wish I could be a mic runner. If I showed up at camp this December, do you think they would let me be a mic runner?
As long as you don't wear that hat. I feel like you had to be in a certain family to be a mic runner, though.
Oh, I do.
I feel it was special. Like, you couldn't. It's not like Bowens would be a mic. I mean, women have been. It was always boys.
Yeah.
But, like, there are certain family. I mean,
but did
Jason Motto. No, you could have never been a mic
Jason
runner.
Motto, sorry, buddy. But you never saw Davey being a mic runner, did you?
I don't think Davey would have wanted to be a mic runner.
Davey would not be a good mic runner, although maybe he would, because he'd maybe like throw it in a toilet where it belongs and no one else can talk. We're done.
That
is a true mic runner.
So the meetings would go on forever and ever, because then people would just, and then you felt, I've done it before, like at McCumber camp, where I'd stand up and you'd cry too, like you wouldn't just say I'm thankful, like seriously, like that. You'd be like I'm so thankful. I'm just gonna remember that message. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's, I mean, these poor us as teenagers,
I don't know how to survive.
We were mental basket cases.
Oh, so, but here's the thing. It was so pushed on the teen to do this that
if you didn't,
you would be viewed differently. And then also if you did, which I'm not speaking for everyone, but I can definitely speak for Sun when I say it was fake BS. They just got up and then afterwards you'd have leadership coming up and be like, I really appreciated your testimony. And it's like, cool. But you couldn't have a serious conversation with someone and trust them enough with your secret or something you need to talk to about in real life. But if you stand up,
it was always the cert families. But I always, the leaders would come up to me and say, thank you.
They knew you were struggling. So it really was extra meaningful.
I basically struggled my whole life. And then when I left, they're like, oh. And then if Grover saw this podcast, which I'm sure they're watching it, he's going to be like, oh, Mark's.
I know. Mark really threw it at children.
I knew they were going down the wrong road. I knew that. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for letting us just be at
a little bit normal.
We needed to be.
Yeah.
It was a lifesaver.
I think that definitely saved us. Gretchen had mentioned the mass confession meetings too. Oh, you would get going. One person would confess to having, you know, Mariah Carey's Christmas album in their car. And
pure thoughts.
And so one person would confess about it and it would just go down the line. It was just like mass confessional time. It's like, oh yeah, everyone amend that. I feel like I need to confess that my skirt's a little bit short tonight and I'm going to throw all my
better.
You remember that people, yes, what they would confess about too, like weird shit, like really weird. And it's like,
barely remember, but like,
so weird.
But don't you remember being like, oh, that's so good?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
so I was so shy and insecure about myself. I always wished I wanted to get up and say something so bad.
Oh, I was the one that got up. And yet I was always like, they're worried about me always.
Yes. Yes. They never were. They didn't care that I didn't say anything. No. Although I had such evil thoughts in my heart, I should have been up there sharing and confessing, but I wasn't. But
now you creep
me now. I'm getting it all out now. But that is, in a nutshell, how fun our Christmases were.
Yeah.
Perry, you'll appreciate this picture too. Because I said, the women folk were allowed to play sports sometimes. And when we did, we looked good. That's what playing volleyball in denim skirts looks like.
And it's, I feel like the picture is just hot.
This was at camp out for sure. It's hot. Fantastic. I can see the sweat glistening.
Weren't you always worried about bees going up your skirt out there? I was so nervous about bees going up my skirt. It's amazing that it's why I have anxiety now. I'm sure of it.
I never worried so much about the bees because I wasn't, you know, a scaredy pants like you. But last night you missed a conversation with Todd Romo was on here.
Oh, Todd.
And
he gave me a ring at camp out. Oh my God. He was my little crush. Oh, I had a crush on Todd.
That is so cute. So I totally remember that. We remember they used to come over to our house.
Yeah.
Which what surprised was even allowed. Terrell.
I loved her.
She was so sweet. And we'd go down to the creek. But yeah, but anyway, he said, yeah, camp out.
Back on track.
I'm very bad at this. He was saying, yeah, camp out wasn't fun until they built the showers. And I think what he meant by that is the pokey holes through the showers, everyone. And I don't know if it was purposely like for leadership to be like, I can sneak some extra peeks without having to actually sneak them. And so they're like, let's have plastic showers and I'll poke a hole through with my toothbrush. And
I was always just running out of there so quick.
Yes. And I would always choose to wash at the lake instead because I was mortified.
I did like one shower there and I was just like,
I did not do very much.
Unless it was like, because anyone and everyone could be in their showers.
No, I know. Which eventually, because of the peaking the hole situation, they moved it to men hours, women's hours, like how we did the swimming hole.
And it is weird, but we did have several peaking toms in the assemblies that struggled with that. And it's so weird that that would.
It's not weird at all. I think in communities like that, it is a normal thing.
And so.
Disgusting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But are we going to call the cops on them? No, we are not. We're going to pray them out of their creeperness.
No, as long as they confess in front of the assembly, they're.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And you'll never do it again if you confess in front of the assembly.
All you have to do is confess and the leaders give you the star badge of honor and you're fine.
Mm. Mm. Okay. We have another confessional here. PTSD from having to give a confession at camp out for saying a testimony from the top of the mountain. Oh, apparently it wasn't sincere. So I think what this is referring to, this is hilarious, but this is the kind of shit we got in trouble for. It's so stupid. I think when we were having singing a long time at camp out, so at night we would all huddle around one campfire that no one could feel except the people in the very front row and Ken, who would kick the logs, and we would sing songs. No, a guitar. I was going to say no instruments. A guitar. A guitar and piano are the only instruments we were ever allowed.
Oh, and then the guys went to the top of the mountain?
I'm thinking this is what he's talking about. So then we had a group of guys. Yes, it was probably like a mile or two, a windy, windy road to get to the very top of this hill and you overlook this meadow. It was gorgeous. We ruined it, but it was gorgeous. And the men or some group of people went up there and were like shouting songs, I remember, over the rooftop or over the meadow. But because we were in singing time, oh yeah, Jeff said, yep, that was me. Because we were in singing time on the campfire, they were interrupting. It's like they know from the top of the mountain that they're interrupting, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb or whatever we were. Shine Your Light or whatever we were singing. So.
Oh, and I just remember that being a good memory.
It was like one fun moment. And you're like,
Thank you, Jeff, for getting in trouble and having to confess.
Because
that was a positive memory in my childhood. And I love you and your family. You have like the best wife ever.
No. Oh, who's
that? And your family is so adorable. And I love to follow you guys and see how, you know, just see that you're living life.
That's the stuff we got in trouble for.
So sad. And that was like not actual good.
Hold on.
A good memory that I thought of and then it got ruined because he had to confess. Oh,
and it was so exciting. Kind of like all of our skits. We would get so excited about our skits when we would do our
skits. We thought we were so funny.
Oh,
we're funny.
You're so sweet.
I'm not seeing the comments. Oh.
All right, there you are. He says, thank you.
They're great.
You always like, it was so exciting to do something like a skit and fun, but then it was like, the dread and guilt instantly of like,
we're gonna get cussed. If you saw faces during the skit, you knew. Oh,
you did
shit,
not
it's
look
down.
Uncertain.
Oh, you knew. And like, if they laughed, you knew you're okay.
Yeah,
you're totally good. But if they didn't laugh, you knew the next
you're on
morning
edge.
It's gonna be bad.
On edge.
You're gonna.
Were you at the Camp McCumber when we did the airplane skit and I had the life vest?
Yeah, that was my last.
We were in the,
and we were doing a camp one. We did a camp skit, making fun of camp, like people, the mic runners, and then like making fun of people like taking too long because they'll just talk for hours on that mic.
We got in trouble for that for sure.
People love to be on that mic sometimes. So we did a skit and I was more in the background because I was engaged and soon to be married. And so I was just trying.
You were very mature.
Trouble. Very, very mature.
Hoping the wedding would still go through.
Yeah. And but my mom and Shannon and who's that other guy?
Tim and Mark. Doug.
Mark. No. Who? He's married to Cynthia White's sister. Zelder. A Zelder. But
oh, Mark's
name.
Mark.
No, not Mark Zelder. The other one.
Curtis?
No. Not Mark,
Mark
Zelder.
And Cindy.
No, Cynthia White. Cynthia White's sister is married to him.
Dawn.
Dawn. Was it you, Jeff?
Jeff.
Yes. Okay.
Probably. Probably. Yeah. He was always a good one for a stint.
Yes, he was in there because he was hilarious. And I just didn't know him like that. And I was just, it was hilarious. Like everybody. So Mark got trouble too for being.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, and it was always their dad, Don and Mark.
Yeah.
Because they were funny.
Yeah.
And then David was, you know, the leader. And so it was so funny to be on the back end of that because the behind the scenes is we're usually like, an hour before skit night, we're throwing some together. Like,
yeah,
let's do this.
Right, so I need the people.
Right.
You know?
Right. Interesting.
It's like, we can't
have nothing to do.
So, like, this is what we're doing. And everyone gets snacks and popcorn. And, like, it would be so fun. It would really be fun.
And everyone looked forward to skit night. I don't care who you were. You looked forward to skit night.
Even if
except
you're
to wait hour. It would be so embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. I'm so shocked that he married you.
I know. I really am too. I really am too. But anyway, when we're talking like behind the scenes beforehand, you know, you're pushing the boundaries, but here we would have the leader's sons. They're like,
I felt like that was
and we're like,
stamp of approval.
Yes.
Totally stamp of approval.
Yes.
That's why that night I will never forget Dawn because I was like,
so funny.
Dawn was a piano maestro. You know, so like if Dawn, we would play our piano on Sundays. We didn't do other musical instruments, only the piano and guitar, but we can talk about that another day. But so I just thought, stamp of approval for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we're good to go. Oh, speaking of that. Like that's the thing. It's like they were the leader's son. So surely it would be okay. But surely it wasn't.
Okay. And that was a bad time. Like you guys got pretty...
That
time seriously reamed over.
I want to say that might have been
the last skit.
The last time we did skits.
That was when skit and I went to die.
But no, because I honestly don't think I did any after I was married. How sad is that?
Very sad. I mean, but look
all the fun
are shining through now with Shanty Pants.
That's just so shiny.
You know, it was meant to be. And this
it was meant to be. I'm making up for it.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm doing comedy now, too, which is super fun. I still need to post about that night. That was so fun.
Yeah, you do.
I've been really bad about posting things. But anyway, so yeah, that's just a little treat for you guys tonight. Just
wait, back it up a bit because we can't see faces.
Do you know what this was for?
A shower or a wedding?
Yes, a wedding, a shower. At our house.
For Beth and Bree.
No.
For you. For me?
No. Here's another picture of it just to help you out, maybe. Probably not. Sarah and Roger. Yeah. There somewhere I had a picture of her. She looks well, she
I was engaged at 17, but she got to be married at
17. She got to be married at 17. She looked out. Yeah. Lucky dog.
It's amazing that our marriage is gonna work out.
It's so weird. So weird.
So weird.
Here's a picture from my shower. Oh, wait a second. This picture I love because I got in trouble for the V in the skirt. And I was so excited because I got it at a store as is. Like, that was rare to find skirts that I just liked that were at the store and you didn't have to alter.
Shannon, that is just so sad and pathetic.
But the view point at my crotch area.
Yeah,
that is not allowed.
Your vagina, and that's a very big thing to have.
And because the fabric in between the V is a different color, it's like basically a neon light.
See through.
Like shining up to the
ribbons. With
tights on.
Those clogs.
Oh, yeah.
Why did we wear those?
Well, look at the get up. I'm sorry, but.
The cardigan.
Like, look how happy I am. Isn't that terrible? But, you know, it's stuff like this that sticks out to me. It's like, oh, my gosh, I loved that skirt so much. I bought it and wore it in Texas, and then I wore it back home, and it was a no-go, which I don't think are working.
You know what? I feel like when us Californians went to Texas,
we
were always getting in trouble for our looks.
Always.
Like,
always.
I felt like they thought we were very, very risque from California.
I mean, yes. Oh, 100%.
But and then I feel like the leaders in our assemblies would get in trouble. Like, you better keep your flock.
Right? Yes.
Because I feel
your
like
flock is straying. They're not flying south for the winter. Where are they going?
Yeah, you got to really keep it locked down on those people. Here's a brief glance back to Loomis Grange.
Yeah, that like gives me PTSD right
Isn't
there.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, I did not. You know what? Those chairs are so uncomfortable.
Oh, they were terrible. Like how I, but I mean, I guess after several hours, your butt kind of goes numb and
true.
More.
Oh,
but here's a picture of my happy face at my shower.
Oh my gosh, look at mom.
I know.
Oh, you look like a baby.
I barely
recognize you. We all got in so much trouble.
So much
shower.
Trouble for my.
Oh my God.
Well, I almost called the wedding off before my shower when we got in trouble. Do you remember that
mother-in-law situation or just everything?
Everything, but she was definitely a part of it. But because whose shower was right before mine and we got so reamed for that one.
Beth and Bree.
Tracy's and Beth and Bree's. Everyone's was before mine, but right before mine, I think, was Tracy's. But anyway, I made it, whatever shower I helped put on, we made it too amazing. And so we got talked to about that. And I was so pissed off because then they were like, so from now on, we can't do this at showers and this at showers. It needs to be more spiritual. It's not just about lingerie. And so
that was the only time a woman could pray. It was usually the leader's wife. Remember?
Oh,
wouldn't they pray? The leader's wife?
Yes,
before,
they
did they have a man come in for that?
No, they actually did have a woman pray, which is kind of mind boggling. Wow.
I remember that.
But you know what? I remember
we
tried to have a women's Bible study. Do you remember when Rebecca joined the cult? And she was like this wonderful Christian woman, grew up in a Christian family, and she married she's my sister-in-law now. But when she came,
that Rebecca, yeah.
Yeah, she was like precious. And she's like, let's do like, the guys would play basketball like on Tuesday nights. And she's like, let's do a little Bible study why the guys are playing basketball. And I'm like, well, I know where this is going, but sure, let's give it a try. And so I think there was like six of us ladies that while the husbands played basketball, we met at her house and literally read the Bible. Oh my gosh, you would have thought that we were plotting like an assassination of the leader or something. We got in so much trouble for reading the Bible together. Like, that's not cool, guys. That's not cool. What is normal about that?
If that's the worst thing my kids do, wow.
I will be thrilled. Thrilled. I mean, if they read anything, I will be thrilled. Like, anything. Yeah, it is insane. Hey,
that's so sad. I was out, I think, at that time, or I wasn't as involved. I don't know, but I do remember hearing that.
Yes, I'm sure. You would have been far out by then. But yeah, that was just fun stuff, like, you know, just normal, cool things like that. But we should probably wrap this up.
We definitely
did not get gifts for Christmas, so. Something's up. We are making up for it now, right?
Yeah.
Because we love Christmas with our family and our kids. And every day I'm thankful that I don't have to raise my kids like I was raised. So that's something I'm always very thankful about.
I'm just shocked at how many hats you have. I only came with one. I feel very unprepared.
I feel like
red earrings.
Yeah, you do. You make up for the earrings. I did not have my earrings on. And I have one more hat. I just forgot to switch them out.
I just got these flamingo Christmas earrings for Florence.
Oh my,
so cute! I almost wore them tonight, but they're not as like
showy.
Yeah.
We want showy. Yeah. We're all about making a scene.
So what should be our next topic with Sessions of the Sisters? Should we ask for people?
I think we need to ask.
Kind of went all over the board tonight.
Well,
but I think
typically
we talk about the marriage, how that all went,
how Vaseline. Yeah.
Well, no. I don't know if we need to really revisit that topic because we kind of got through that on the first.
I'm not revisiting that topic.
Yeah, I would be fine without that. But just, well, anyway, there's so many topics you could go
there
through,
are.
But I think people are interested that aren't associated, that don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good and healthy for people that have gone through what we have, even just from a different family or whatever, to be able to laugh about things, you know, or to even bring it up and be like, oh, okay, but look at where we are now in life.
Right.
Yay,
right.
Rah, rah.
Yeah.
And
it's
nice.
True, though. It's very good to, like, I think it's okay. Sometimes I'll get feedback from people that's like, look what the husband just said.
Oh my gosh, we are.
We are all over the place. But I think it's good for people to be able to laugh about a not great situation.
Right.
For me, obviously, it's very healing to laugh, to talk about it. Not everyone heals from talking or discussing things, but sometimes from watching or listening to podcasts. There's so many different ways that people can grow and heal, you know, with any situation. But that's kind of the whole point of this for me, is to kind of bring a little bit of humor to it. Like, oh, I know what I was saying. I get feedback from people that are like, well, yeah, it's a little like sacrilegious if, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, okay, cool. I don't care. Like, I am here to laugh and have fun. The things we are talking about are true memories that we have. So whether you want to judge them or us on these stories, I don't care. Like, these are true things that happen. This isn't stuff that we're just making up to laugh about. Because that would be weird. Like, this is just...
Trust me, we wish we were making it.
I wish. Yes.
That would be really 10
That'd
times better.
That'd be awesome. It'd be so awesome. But I'm not, and we're not. So, you know, I get that it's not for everyone. Not everyone is ready to laugh. But you should laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it really is good. It really
is. You know who I think should laugh?
What?
Mr. Grove. What's his name?
Which one?
Jeff.
The Scrooge. Tra-la-la-la-la.
Tra-la-la-la-la. That dude needs some laughter in his life. Like, he needs Christmas joy.
He does need some Christmas joy. The Grinch has stolen his heart. And
the Grinch of Christmas. We have Grinches our whole life, and that's why...
Grinches.
We really love Christmas.
Grinches of all the holidays and all the joy. Not just Christmas joy. All the joy. Take it all. Joy, we don't need joy. It's all yours, Grove.
So if anyone wants to comment and say what they want to see next time, or if anyone else wants to discuss anything, we did get a lot of requests, and so we do need to look at those.
Yeah, I do.
From last podcast. But we were just wanting to focus on Christmas, which we really, like Dwayne said, went all over the whole spectrum. But
I do that all the time.
Dwayne, I just appreciate that you're listening.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he was listening in that 30 seconds that I said that, and that was it.
I know, because Sean hasn't listened to my podcast either.
Oh,
he listened to
rude.
Parts of it, but it's a long one.
Yeah.
We should try to make it under an hour.
Yeah, but people can just watch whenever they want.
That's
But yes, please leave us ideas that you want us to discuss, talk about. If there's anyone from our cult that is interested in being on the Shanty Pants show, please reach out to me and let me know. I have had a couple reach out, but I am
just be on your show or with sessions with the sisters.
Either. So I would like people to reach out for either, because sessions with the sister, I'm kind of anticipating that it's going to turn into like sessions with a saint. Because it might be another saint that I want to talk to with you. Like, it's sessions with a sister and a saint, because there are other saints that want to be on. And so I feel like we're going to open it up to having some real fun discussions on sessions with a sister. So please reach out if you would like to be on the Shanty Pants show. Normal, fine, or sessions with a sister, fine. Please reach out. Please follow my Shanty Pants show page on Facebook. It is a brand new page, and it's not getting a lot of traction because I haven't put a lot of work into it. So go follow that page. If you're watching this, you're already on that page or on YouTube. YouTube is my favorite. But anyway, so let's call it quits.
And you end it with a little rawr situation.
Rawr. Like, do you want me to really get it real sexy?
I so hope Dana's watching.
If not, I'll just clip that one section and text it to him. And
Oh, yeah. He will be so excited.
Do we want to end with the Christmas tra-la-la-la-la?
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
I mean, just to keep us fresh. And oh, wait, maybe we watched them all. Oh, we did. But I kind of want this, though. They posted this.
The
tra-la-la-la-la sweater. I want it so bad.
And it's really not for sale. It's just a joke.
Oh, I know, but that's, I'm going to make myself one.
Yeah, I think.
Ra-la-la-la-la.
Yeah.
And then I know. We could put, like, Grover, like, underneath. Like, it was quote, you know, like, this is good. It's going to be great. I really want one.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
All right. Well, we will see you guys. Merry Christmas. Guess what I can
say? Okay, really quick. Oh. And I know we've got to end this, but I say Merry Christmas, and I know it's like not like you're supposed to say Happy Holidays now.
I know.
But because we were never allowed to say Merry Christmas, we would always say Xmas, but we wouldn't ever say Merry Xmas.
No.
I would say Merry Christmas to everybody now. Merry Christmas. And if they say Happy Holidays, or if they want to say Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
It's just like Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night.
And if they are offended by it, they can ask why, and then they can watch this video for an hour and a half and understand why. I'll send you the link, honey. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Okay, that was so much fun. And I would like to notice your clock in the background says 9:07, so you're going to get to bed at a decent time.
Yeah, thank you.
And this was amazing. So much fun.
So good.
Amazing. All right. Have a good night. Merry Christmas to all and to all. Tra-la-la-la-la-la.
Thank you all for joining me for another episode of the Shanny Pant Show. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with me every week. You can find all of my links to all my social medias, anything your heart desires at shannypantshow.com. You can even find my amazing merch is back up and running there. And you can email me from there, all the things, all the things. Also, you always ask, how can you help me out with this whole podcast situation? You can subscribe to my podcast. You can leave reviews. You can share it with friends. I appreciate it all. So I am super excited to bring you guys the rest of the season. It's going to be amazing. And I'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.